Okay, so our speaker today is Jim Lockwood, owner of Lockwood Pressure Washing. Jim was born in Cumberland, Maryland, and spent most of his life in the Southeast, growing up in Smyrna, then moving to Savannah for a few years, then to Nashville. Jim attended the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, but did not graduate from there. Most of his adult life, he was in the restaurant industry, waiting tables and bartending. He started at Slope's Barbecue approximately 10 years ago. As manager, in April of 2023, Jim started his pressure business part-time on his day off in his neighborhood just to make a few extra dollars. And as he started to pick up more business, decided to learn more about the techniques and equipment involved. Then in the fall of 2023, he decided he would pursue the business full-time in spring of 2024. You're a planner, dude. You plan things, huh? And the third week of February of 2024 was his last week at Slopes, and he went full-time with pressure washing. Over time, Jim has continued to learn more about the business, marketing techniques, and how to manage schedule and budget, and focuses on slow, smart growth. Jim married for the first time in 2021, enjoys activities of cooking, spending time with family, and trying to find a social life after working nights and weekends for so many years. So, Jim, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for doing this, and you're on.
Well, he's told you everything already.
Any questions?
Now tell your version.
Okay, I was born in Cumberland, Maryland. My family were kind of railroad people. Grandfather worked for the railroad, my dad did. So my dad got transferred a lot. Most of my family was like from the Kentucky, West Virginia area. Some of them worked in the coal mines. And we got transferred a lot. This railroad's almost like the military.
Yes, it is.
And so I think when I was 4 and 5, lived in West Virginia and then moved to Smyrna 1st through 6th grade. And then 7th through 10th, lived in Savannah, and then 11th and 12th in Nashville, and I went to University of Tennessee, Knoxville for about 2.5 years. And I was always one of those outstanding C students. But even from a young age, I used to like to work. I started cutting grass for money when I was 8. And then, through teenage years did things. And later in high school, I started working and just kind of enjoyed doing that. And I actually started my own little car detailing business when I was in high school. I was on a program where you got out of school at 11 o'clock, you took a marketing class in the morning, and then you could, go out and work at Kroger or, something like that. And I actually started detailing cars. And so I could go pick up a car after I get out of school at 11, and I would take it to my house and clean it and take it back to the people. And it was amazing because, they're thinking, oh, I'm going to let some kid go knock the dirt off my car, and I'd bring it back to them. And they were, just like, is this my car? And it was amazing. You do one car. Oh, you did Susie's car. But this is back when I charged $35 for a full detail. It was hand wash, hand wax, shampooed the seats and carpets. Wow. So I was making about 3 or 3.5 hours to do it. So I was making $10 an hour. Everybody else was making 4. And then when I went to college, I really didn't have a focus or a plan of what I wanted to do. I mean, it was, oh, I'm going to go into business, just for a business degree, and then got to school and taking all your core classes, and I just never really got into it, especially. And that's right about the time that computers started really coming out big, and when I took those classes, it was like Snoopy's teacher talking,
yeah,
exactly. And so I never really didn't do that well. And then my dad got transferred to Francis, South Carolina. And, Francis Marion College was in that town. I'm trying to think of the little town in South Carolina that it was. But, he's like, oh, I'm moving here. Well, you're not doing that good in school. Come here. So I went to school there for about a year and a half. Then he got moved to Atlanta. So, in between all those, I lost a ton of credits.
Oh, wow.
Then when we moved to Atlanta, I had to wait a year until I could get in-state tuition. So I just, you know, started working, and I worked at a motorcycle shop for a little while. And then a guy came in and paid cash for a motorcycle, a young guy, and he valet parked cars. So I actually ended up valet parking for about a year. And then got in the car business for about 5 years. I worked at Regal Nissan for about 3.5, from I think 90 to 93. And then I worked for a guy for about a year and a half at a used car lot in Roswell. And then a guy approached me about working at his own car lot, just a little used car lot. And I did that for a little while, and it wasn't panning out. It was his first time doing it, and his funding fell through. So I needed a job. So I had always kind of been in the restaurant business, you know, through college and high school. And it's one of those things where it gets in your blood. You either like it or you don't. And, you know, not everybody can do it. Not that it's a great thing to do, but, and the money is decent. It's not one of those things where you're going to continually go up as you get promoted in some cases. But did that most of my adult life. And so a lot of it, I've even through 30s and 40s, just kind of a, lack of a better term, a wild nomadic life. I was always still fairly responsible with my money, so it wasn't like I did have a Roth IRA that I started in my 30s. But just lived day to day, didn't, you know, really do anything exciting, didn't have any, you know, plans for the future. And then finally I was like, I need to find something a little more stable, and was able to get a job at Slopes through someone that, you know, somebody knew somebody that was looking for somebody. And it was a little different atmosphere. It was, you know, mom and pop place, you know, doesn't stay open late. And, you know, it was a, did it for 10 years, and it was a good place to work. Couple good things that came out of it. That's where I found my house. Some realtors came in and were, had all their stuff out on the table, and I said, oh, I'm looking for a house. And they found me a house, bought two cars through there from, one a customer and one from an employee, that were selling cars, and actually met my wife there. She came in and got some to-go food one day, and, thought she was kind of cute. And this was back when you would actually hand me your credit card. I would swipe it and then give you the paper copy and you'd sign it. Well, it had her name on the bottom. You know, nowadays, think of it, I would never would have met her because she would have tapped. And I was like, how can I get in touch with her? Or how can I do this without being, you know, creepy or breaking the employee code? So I looked up and she was on Facebook, and so I just sent her a friend request. I didn't say like, you know, hey, and a couple weeks later she sent me one back. Oh yes, I remember meeting you, and that's about all I heard. And then about a month later she came in and got some more to-go food. And still it was one of those things of like, you know, I could see her calling my boss, and your employee asked me out. So I still didn't do anything. And then about a month later, after I'd bought my house in Ackworth, because I was working at the Sandy Spring store and the Alpharetta store, and about a month and a half after I bought my house over there, she comes in, and I'm handing her food, and she said, can I ask you something? And I said, sure. And she said, would you like my phone number?
Oh.
So she's like, I kept waiting for you to ask me out. You know? And so we started dating, and that went, I mean, I was in Ackworth, she was in Cumming, so we went back and forth, and she's a nurse, so she gets up early in the morning and goes to bed early at night, and, you know, I'm working later and working nights and weekends, so we went back and forth for about 5 years, and then in 2021, we got married, so I moved in with her, and so, like, Hines said in, I guess it was April 2023, I had my schedule where I could work, you know, open and close one day, off the next day, early the next day. But I worked every single Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 a.m. you know, or 10 to 9 p.m., you know, and just working nights and weekends. We work close on Sundays, which for the restaurant business is huge. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, it just puts you out of touch with everybody, you know. Hey, you want, let's go do this weekend. I have to work, you know. Or, hey, you want to do something Thursday night? Well, I don't go out on Thursday nights. Yeah. And I was kind of looking for something, you know, what if I could make a couple extra dollars, if I could make a couple hundred extra dollars a week, you know, that's $800 a month, that's, you know. So I had a little Costco pressure washer that my brother had given me when I bought my little house in Ackworth, and I advertised in the neighborhood, you know, they're little small driveways, nothing like most of them here, and my first day, my first two-paid jobs, I had the little pressure washer and then one of the little surface cleaners I'd bought. Get out of the first house, surface cleaner's not working. So I had to do the wand for the entire thing. I mean, thank goodness they were small, which made me run late to my second appointment. And I'm just like, and so I had to do both those by doing the wand. But, you know, I was like, oh, I made, you know, $160 in a few hours. Wow, this is great. And so I started just getting a few customers from Slopes, and it just started picking up. And I kind of shifted from your day job to this, and I had a little Lexus hatchback car, and I put a trailer hitch on it and put a cargo rack, and I'd carry my pressure washer around and do that. And, you know, I'd have days on my day off where I could make basically as much as I would make in a week at work. And so just kept plugging at it and getting more customers, just mainly through word of mouth. And so in the fall last year, I decided, all right, this spring, I'm going to go full time. It's not a good idea to open up a pressure washing business in the winter. So I started looking around at used trucks, and I'm sure you guys know how the car market or used truck market is. I mean, it used to be go find you a good little truck for $5,000 or $6,000, and now you're lucky to find a decent $15,000 or $20,000 truck. Okay. So I started looking around, and I was able to find one that I could buy for about the same price as I could sell my car for. Got a pretty good deal on, you know, a Nissan truck. It was, you know, I would like to get a Chevy, but, you know, Chevy or Ford. But from the newer ones now, they say the transmissions drop out at 150,000 miles. Or, you know, it's not like the good old days. And I found a Nissan V6, and which I had one for 18 years before. So I got that and bought the truck and then sold my car. And then over the winter, started accumulating the equipment because a lot of it goes on sale, you know, towards the end of the year. There's an actual pressure washing supply company up in Gainesville, about a half an hour from here. Not like Home Depot or anything. You walk in there and it's like candy land. And I got on a lot of groups on Facebook for pressure washers, you know, a lot of forums. And it's not... I'm sure you've all had a pressure washer or used one. It's fun. You know, let me do this and that.
For the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. but there is a lot to know about it as far as chemicals you use, techniques, what you can use pressure on, what you can't, what chemical or cleaner you can use on wood but you can't use on vinyl, vice versa. I mean, there's guys out there that will blow my mind with their knowledge of, you know, oh, you've got to clean this surface, use this percentage of this and this percentage of that, let it sit for 6 minutes, then rinse it 1500 PSI. And so there's a lot to learn with it. And I got a commercial grade pressure washer. And this was, like Heinz was talking about, wanted to go into this debt free. I had a, you know, some modest savings saved up. So I was, you know, like I said, I sold the car for and got the truck for about the same price. Spent about $3,000 on equipment to get started. So I got a pressure washer, one of the surface cleaners, and then a couple other attachments. And So February 16th was my last day at work, and the 19th I got stickers put on my truck and finished, you know, setting everything up in it. You know, and I start out, I still had the pressure washer on wheels in the back of the truck and, you know, hoses and everything, and started hitting the streets. And I remember one of my first jobs, a girl that I knew, she does a lot in the Crabapple area and knows a ton of people. So I said, well, hey, I'll clean your driveway for free, you know, if you give me a little shout out, you know, maybe something on Facebook or. So I went over and cleaned her driveway and pulling out of her driveway and the neighbor stops me, end up doing $780 worth of work at his house, at, you know, on a later day. And then one of the other neighbors called me, and long story short, ended up doing several houses in there, and some of them were pretty big jobs, and then did work for the HOA, cleaning up their pool area, which I've seen some couple over here I'd like to talk to somebody about. and, you know, just started working from there. I am not tech savvy whatsoever, and the good old days of word of mouth, I mean, there's still some of it, but it's not like it used to be. So, you know, marketing is challenging for me because you can spend a ton of, I'm sure some of you know, a ton of money on marketing. But I just, some people that open up a business, they, you know, oh, great, you started doing this. What do you want to get, like 5 more trucks and 10 guys? And it sounds weird, but I'm a simple person. If I can make a decent living doing something I enjoy and set my own hours to an extent, you know, I wanted to do that because I'd have worked for somebody forever. And this puts you in charge of your own destiny. If you want to fail, you can fail. If you know. And I'm a homeowner. I have people come over to my house and do work, and I'm sure y'all have too. And I'm sure you've got somebody that you've really weren't that impressed with the way that, how they handled themselves or how they treated you. And then I'm sure all of you have a guy that you love and you tell all your friends about. And it's just, to me, it's very basic, you know, show up on time, call people back, do a good job. You get a 4.9 just for that. And so a lot of the, just kind of really quickly, pressure washing in the past couple years has been the YouTube TikTok rage. So everybody sees these fancy videos of, oh, look at me washing this house, making $10,000. So, you know, in 10 minutes. And so everybody and their cousin has jumped on that bandwagon. And, you know, they think they can go out to Home Depot and buy a $500 pressure washer and go out and start hitting the streets. And, you know, a lot of these guys will be on these Facebook groups. How do I just got this job cleaning, say, this building. How do I do it? And like, so you got the job and you don't know how to do it, you know. Or how am I going to clean the second story? Do I have a ladder? Did I get a ladder? And it's like, well, hopefully you bought a big enough pressure washer where you could do that. So, and there's a lot of guys in this industry. I mean, it goes from just like, if you want a steak, you could go to Ruth Chris, or you could go to Longhorn, or you could go to Waffle House. And I'm sure all of you probably had pressure washing done at your house, and you might not think about it, but, you know, you get 3 quotes. Okay, this is the cheapest quote. I'm going with him. There's a lot of difference in quality from what people can do. You can do a lot of magical things with a pressure washer, and you can do a lot of damage. So, you know, I'm still learning. I think it's going to be a never-ending process of learning, you know, techniques and cleaners. I mean, there's a, for example, Sherwin-Williams has a paint that has organic pigments in it. So most of the cleaners that you use to clean a house kill organic material like moss and, you know, algae and things like that. So if you spray your cleaner on their house and it's blue, it turns purple. So you have to, you know, first of all, ask questions first. and, you know, do a walk around at a house, check for damage, previous damage. Hasn't happened to me, but I know people that they've done work at somebody's house and 6 months later they'll call, oh, my window's leaking now since you pressure, or, you know, 6 months later, or, you know, my siding's falling off. So you have to do little things like take before and after pictures and keep those. Just, you never know what's going to happen. And I started out, like I said, with basic equipment. And it's just like any trade business. I mean, the sky's the limit. I know guys that have a $500,000 truck.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted, like I said, do this debt free. So in between getting the truck set up, getting licensed, insurance, you know, things like that, the money just in early February started just going out the door. And it was a thing where, you know, oh, you want to advertise or you want to do this? That's $200 a month. That's $300 a month. And I was at the thing where I don't want to spend that right now. I don't want to get myself in a situation where, you know, if this doesn't go off, then I owe all this money. So I tried to, you know, just do slow and smart growth. And with basic equipment, it takes you longer to do jobs. Obviously, it's just like a mechanic if he's got, you know, a bunch of nice tools. Basically, the fancier equipment, I wouldn't say it does a better job, but you can do it more efficiently. Just to give you an idea, when I first started, I cleaned Heinz's driveway with my little Costco pressure washer, and it took me about 5 hours. With the one that I have now, which is, I would say if you equate it to a car engine, it's a V6. You know, it's not the biggest, but it's not the smallest. I did it in about 2 hours. You know, so then you get customers that say, wow, you charged me all this money and you did this so quickly. And it's like, well, I've spent $10,000 getting the equipment to do it. But it's gone well. I would say it's gone better than expected, or about what I expected to better than what I expected. And just a lot of it just, you know, I care. You know, when I come to your house, just like I said, if somebody comes to my house and they're, you know, they provide a good service and they treat you right, you know, you call them, they call you back and they refer you. And, you know, just, of course, everybody's in business to make money, but I don't nickel and dime things. If I'm at somebody's house doing something and I see something that, you know, takes an extra 5 or 10, 15 minutes sometimes, I just go ahead and do it. You know, it's, hey, while I'm here, I went and did that. Didn't cost me, you know, but a few minutes of my time. And, you know, it pays off. But I guess, yeah, getting back to the marketing thing, if you Googled pressure washers, you know, of course, there's going to be certain ones that pop up. Well, they're paying with, you know, Google. And I started actually running Google ads a few months ago because at first, when I started out, I can't afford to pay this. Now it's to the point where I can't afford not to. But it's slowing down a little bit right now. And then, unfortunately, my wife and I just had in between vet bills and home repairs about $10,000 in a very short time. So I can pause those ads, you know, just stop it. But it's almost as much as marketing as it is doing the actual work. You know, it's hard to get your, or, you know, whatever you can do to get your name out, but, you know, you're competing against some of these big guys that have, you know, huge advertising budgets and, you know, things like that. And I don't, like I said, I don't want to grow to a huge company. One man, one truck. I'm fine with that. I know a young kid here in town that's got a pressure washing company and he's in his early 20s. He's got, 2 full-time techs now. Somebody answers his phone full-time and, you know, we actually talk. That's kind of one of the good things about this business. I've met guys all over the country, and even people local, people here in Cumming or Gainesville, and then other parts of the city where we actually network together. You know, somebody calls me and a customer from Woodstock, and if it's not convenient for me to come out, I say, well, I've got my buddy Steve that lives in Woodstock that's a really good pressure washer, and vice versa. I had another pressure washer help me bid my first commercial job. You know, we went over it on the phone. You know, we both had our iPads up, and he said, all right, measure this square footage, and you should charge this and that. And it's hard to do pricing because it's all over the board. You know, I believe in being fair and reasonable. It's when I go buy something, you know, it's you do that, but, you know, it's the difference between, you know, buying a $30 tool at Harbor Freight or buying the $50 one at the, you know, at Home Depot. You know, hey, this one's cheaper, but, you know, it's not going to be as good.
Right. Well, yeah. Are you up for questions, or are you done, or did you have something you want to cover?
Well, or I guess just, you know, really quickly. So, you know, I've got mine in a truck set up right now where everything's in the truck. I've got the pressure washer permanently mounted. And just a real quick technical thing, I'm sure you guys have heard, soft washing. Mm-hmm. So basically you can either do a electric pump or a gasoline-powered one. The gasoline-powered is more powerful, but you can have more problems with it. So I got a soft wash system this summer. It's basically, I went with electric. It's basically a $3,000 pump sprayer. But just what a time saver. Because if you have to, just for example, if you're cleaning a house, about the mixture you spray on is about 1.5% sodium hypochlorite, which is pool bleach. I mean, that's the industry standard. And then if you're doing concrete, usually it's maybe 3 to 4% to be effective. And then other things you might need 5 or 6. Well, using your regular pressure washer, you can usually only get about 1 to 2% with any kind of device you hook up to that. But the soft wash, I've actually got dials where I've got a bleach tank and a water tank, and I can actually adjust anywhere from 1% up to 6%. So if I had, let's say, a big retaining wall or something like that, I would have to go out there. If I needed a strong mix, I'd have to get a pump sprayer. Just go out and pump it, you know. And now I can take this, I can turn the dials, turn the pump on, and take my hose and, you know. I got a remote soap dispenser. So say if I'm washing a house, I put water on it, then I want to put the soap on it, then I want to rinse it. Well, before you'd have to go put your tube in your cleaner. When you're ready to rinse, go back to the truck, take it out. Well, I've got the remote system now. And, I mean, if you looked at it, you'd think it's $20, but it's $600 for, you know, when you first start out, I'm not spending $600 on something like that. The only thing I regret is not doing it sooner. I mean, I can be 200 feet from my truck behind a house. Oh, I need soap. Beep. Oh, I need to rinse. Beep. Oh, I missed a spot. Turn the soap back on. Whereas before, I'd have to go back and forth. I mean, it probably saves 30 or 40 minutes a house. And I'm, you know, just to give an example, like we're talking about marketing, you know, Google reviews, that's the big thing now. And I've been at it right at 9 months, and I just got my 140th Google review. One of the other pressure washers here in town that I was talking about, he's been in business 3 years, and he just got a little bit over 200. It's funny when we talk, he's like, yeah, that's kind of amazing that you've gotten so many reviews, because he, you know, thought that maybe I was getting them, you know, from some other avenue or something like that. But you know, just getting back to the basics of just, like, I know all you guys are grown up in it. It's just common sense, you know.
Yep.
Work hard, say what you're going to, or do what you're going to say.
So how do you make sure that you don't kill the plants?
It's depending on what you're cleaning. Like I've said, if you're cleaning a house, the cleaning mixture is very mild. But you would either saturate the plants with water or cover them, depending on the location. there's a saying in it that dilution is the solution. So say, for example, grass. If you're spraying a cleaner close to the grass, just any plant, you know, they get everything from the roots. If, just like a person, if you're hungry, you want to eat everything. But if you're full, you don't want anything. So if you saturate all the roots, then it's not going to be able to pull stuff in. But part of it, too, is common sense. You know, don't, if you, I don't want to spray a very strong mixture right over your $800 Japanese maple.
Not for one time.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, property protection, you know, that you need to go through as far as for plants, for things on the house, you know, if you have painted surfaces, but then you've also got wood, you know, stained wood. If it's not sealed, you know, you can't spray that with that cleaner or it'll, you know, bleach it out.
Do you have, are there trade groups available for you?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them. Like I said, I'm on, you know, some on Facebook, and I've met guys from all over the country. And it's amazing how, so I've got mentors, I guess, you know, I can call them or text them, hey, how would you do this? Or what machine would you buy if you were going to get one? And what's funny is I actually have people that, because people ask questions on there and I'll answer them and they're, man, that was great. You know, you really know what you're doing. I'm like, not really. Well, I'm still new, but I've researched it. You know, and so I actually have probably four or five mentees myself. And, you know, I think a lot of them, they like it because they've seen my journey on, you know, Facebook. I know Facebook's not the, you know, the cure all for everything, but I mean, it keeps me in touch with a lot of these guys and they've seen it where I showed pictures of my first truck without even stickers on it now with, you know, built-in stuff on it and things like that. And they're like, man, how have you've done so well in such a short time? What's your secret? You know, and
you got a great story.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Nope. You have a card?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I brought 50.
50?
I have a question that's not related.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
We just found out we have squirrels.
In the air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has anybody used any commercial provider?
Northwest.
Yes.
Have you ever dealt with squirrels?
When we moved.
No.
So they're not unlike most any other company, I guess. I used a local outfit when I lived in Sandy Springs. They don't come up here. But I got a reference from my realtor, actually. Because, to make a very long story short, when we first moved into the house, we had snakes.
Oh. Snakes?
Because
snakes?
There were...
Snakes come after the squirrels.
Rats in the attic.
Squirrels in the attic.
Oh.
So you do the, what they call a total home exclusion, where they go and they find every little place where some kind of a critter can get in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they seal it all up, and then they make sure they have traps to go in, because you can't kill squirrels. It's against the law.
Oh.
Not in my house.
Not in New York.
Well, you have to trap them and then let them go.
Yeah.
So, but we had a chipmunk problem. But then, once they do that, they guarantee it.
Yeah.
All right. What's the company? You got to have a bond.
What's that company?
Northwest.
Oh, Northwest. Okay. Good. Awesome.
The company that Creek Farm came up with a method where they seal all the way around in the attic with some kind of metal.
Galvanized steel.
They put a one-way door in.
So you don't want to trap the squirrels in.
Yeah, so they can get out.
So they'll get out, but they can't get back in.
And then part of the proposal, too, was to add additional insulation so that any of the...
The covers are scent.
Yeah, covers the scent of the squirrels.
Wow.
That's the first estimate we've had. So I don't know.
Wow, we've learned a lot this morning, both how pressure washing works and how to get rid of squirrels
well,
in the attic.
We're not rid of them yet.
Okay. Well,
and your address, I'll send it over.
Well, and just a couple comments. I think You probably work under that work ethic, treat people you want the way you'd want to be treated.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's, that works.
It's amazing.
And you mentioned common sense a lot of times, and the thought that came to me is common sense isn't very common anymore.
No, it's not.
And I think we really can make a difference in the world by implementing old values and things that have worked, and show the young people how they can use this instead of some of the lies that they've been told and the way this culture has gone and worldwide. It's not just a U.S. problem. But anyway, so appreciate that. And he did an awesome job at our company. Every time I look out at the air conditioners there, they look brand new. That building is 26 or so years old. Anyway, I would highly recommend Jim as well. But yeah, being faithful to, treating people the way you'd want to be treated and I think, you know, that's a good witness too for your faith as you, meet people when they find out. I heard this one saying that people don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Oh yeah, that's I heard that a long
Isn't that
time.
Yeah,
that's a very good one.
Yeah. Okay, anything else before we close?
If you do a good job, somebody's going to probably give you a recommendation. Yeah. If you do a bad job, they're going to tell 10 people
right.
a bad job.
And that's what I was going to. There's actually guys that have shirts that say don't. Don't get me started on pressure washing. I can keep y'all here till 6 o'clock telling you stories. But, it's challenging because, I mean, like I said, if you got three quotes, you'd get we call them Chuck, even though I have a truck.
Chuck
in a truck. You know, I'll come out and do that for $50. You know, or you get a company that charges $500. You know, I try to be in the medium range. But it's hard to, explain to people sometimes that, you know, not every pressure washer does the same job.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, okay, you save $50 and then they did a average job on it.
Higher pressure isn't always best.
Yeah.
Well, and that's part of the challenge. And in our company, the way we base our pricing on is based on our material costs. We're in an industry that has highly custom, very expensive things, and a lot of companies will just jack the price up until somebody coughs at the other end of the line. Okay, but not us. We look at the material costs. We have certain markups based on the price, and that's how we come up with the price of. But again, it's that idea of giving what you'd like to receive, and you do a good job of that. So, well, I think we're about done. So, if you guys want to have some more. Is there still some? Yeah, there's still some fruit left and coffee, and
I'm sure there is. Well,
pass the word around, and let's have another one, and we'll have another one in February. Is it? What's 3 months from now?
February.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have another one in February. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.